Maybelline Megaphone Newsreel marches through customs into Canada and right back out again with nothing to declare.
If you were a Canadian customs official, would you let Bill Wayne into your country?
Thanks, Fred, and hello, DX heads. This is Market Scope for July 1992, and I'm Phil Wayne. As expected, we're still dialing our way happily up the AM dial in Jacksonville, Florida. And with all the facts and figures and a bit of heterodyne history, here is, once again, Randy Jones.
1400 is the home for WZAZ, and the previous call to that for many years was WRHC. RHC had a format of soul music in the daytime, country music at night. Eventually, they went gospel music in the daytime and country music at night. And today, we have an urban WZAZ.
WZAZ, stay off my darn telephone. You called me and told me a lot of things. The Christmas is coming up, and I told you I have no money for you, baby. That's Jeff Red from the original motion picture soundtrack.
Well, that's a lot.
Strictly Business. How about that? Well, let's see what's going on here now. She'll bring me my tan high shoes and all. Coffee on the table. Food in the bed because she fills the plate in my lap, darn girl.
Don't get too happy.
1420 brings us back to St. Augustine, the home of WAOC, Country America's oldest city. Call letters on this frequency have been WETH and an earlier WSTN. WAOC's been there now for 20 years. It's had a couple owners. But basically, since about 1971, it's been a country format. Emphasis is on the local community, news, swap and sell programs, a couple of local talk shows, and here's how 1420 sounds.
NASCAR Today, this program is brought to you live from the Motor Racing Network and is sponsored by Bernie's Septic Tank Service, serving this area since 1944. And now, here's Alan.
MRN Radio presents NASCAR Today.
On MRN Radio.
NASCAR Today from the Motor Racing Network is a special feature sponsored by Bernie's Septic Tank Service. They've been serving this area since 1944. And NASCAR Today is their way of saying thank you for your patronage.
At the Daytona International Speedway, I'm Alan Bestwick.
NASCAR Today is a production of MRN Radio, a division of International Speedway Corporation.
The stars are out in St. Augustine. Cablevision Industry is proud to provide their customers with two new exciting channels. Cablevision Industry, we do our best to bring you cable's best.
9 minutes before 5 o'clock, Jim Shannon is going to be up with the local news in about 4 minutes. Here's Reba McEntire for My Broken Heart, right here on WAOC.
1460, we're unable to bring you because it's a weak signal here, but it is currently WFYV, and it's the home of CNN headline news and an ID at the top of the hour. Z-Rock was also tried here, as well as WFYV simulcasting with their FM. Prior to that, it was WRQL, the oldies channel. Also, WPDQ moved here as a urban station. WMBR actually brought this frequency to life in the early days. And WMBR, I forgot to mention to you, spent some time at 600, where WOKV is now located. 1530 is silent now, but it came to life in the mid-70s as CLW Broadcasting put on WCRJ, a 50,000-watt Christian-oriented station. In the early 80s, that station was bought out by Able Communication, and they began to simulcast with FM WCRJ. That lasted for a couple of years. It became WJXW, the big band type sound. It went silent, returned to the air as WJGR, a black gospel station for a while. It went silent, returned to the air the final time as WJGC, which was Jacksonville's Good Time Classics. It has been silent for a couple of years. And finally on the AM band, 1600 is silent. In the 60s and earlier, this was WKTX, and it was a quite popular station for the Jacksonville and Atlantic Beach area. In the late 70s, it became WJNJ, 5,000 watt power increase at that time. It went silent for a while, came on as WQBR, tried some rock and roll for a while, went silent, came back on as a contemporary religious station, and it has been silent also for a couple of years. WNCM started off as a 1,000 watt about 10 years ago, 88.1. It's run by, I guess, the original people that put it on the air. Not quite sure of the power today because they have made several improvements to their equipment. WNCM stands for the New Covenant Ministry.
Our creed is to carry the gospel to a lost and dying world. It's now 11:31 in Jacksonville, or for you backwards thinking people, it's 29 minutes till the hour of 12 o'clock and Pastor Bob Martin. But by a special request of Bethany Bryan, who's holding me at hostage in the studio, so I'm going to play this song for her. This is Alpha and Omega Crew and Power of Love on FM 88.
If you feel it in your heart, something good is about to start. And if you feel it in your soul, won't you let me take control?
Okay, the next one we have is 88.7 Family Radio. WJFR has been on the air for about 3 years now in the Jacksonville area. Plays traditional Christian music and has primarily a satellite delivered program.
Listeners like you help support the ministry of Family Radio.
89.1 is our next stop, and that is the classical station in Gainesville, Florida, but it gets in here with a nice local signal, and they have a unique program on here every Sunday night from 8 till 10 called Theater of the Mind, where they do a lot of OTR programming. And it's the 100,000 watt station that came on the air about 10 years ago.
Canadian pianist Oliver Jones and Stan Pat from his compact disc, A Class Act. And before that, it was new music from Ray Brown Trio, joined by Ralph Moore. Hence the name of the compact disc, Moore Makes Four. And they covered the tune Bye Bye Blackbird. Started it off with Eddie Daniels and his release on the GRP label from earlier this year. This is now, we heard the tune How My Heart Sings. You're tuned to Classic 89 WUFT-FM Gainesville, a public radio service of the University of Florida.
89.9 finds Jacksonville's 100,000 watt classical WJCT. The Bible Broadcasting Network out of Virginia has a 100,000 watt affiliate in Jacksonville, 90.5 WYFB. I believe most of the programming here is out of Virginia, the traditional Christian programming, except about a half hour program of community fairs once a week.
And this is Stephen Brown, taking you through the late night, early morning record room at the Bible Broadcasting Network as our all-Christian Christmas music continues.
WYFB has been on the air now for 4 years. Our next stop is 90.9 and a dying breed because this is Northeast Florida's only beautiful music station now, WKTZ, owned by Jones College in Jacksonville. This station used to be at 96.1 as a commercial station, but moved here about 5 years ago. This frequency was occupied by a former call of WFAM, and at times they've tried different formats. I think one of the longer-running formats was a jazz format.
Jones College Radio, with the music you grew up to and still look forward to hearing again. Enjoy the beautiful music of Jones College Radio.
91.7 has a gospel, country gospel station in Yulee, Florida, which is north of Jacksonville, right on the Florida-Georgia border. They will be getting into the Jacksonville market very soon as they raise their power and change their tower position. They'll be going from 3,000 watts to 38,000. But right now, in my area, they're not very listenable other than with an outside antenna. 92.1 is another station, although not located in Jacksonville, serves it from Baker County, a county just west of Jacksonville, in McClinney, Florida. The station came on the air in 1977 under the call of WBKF at 3,000 watts. A couple of years ago, they, under the new call of WJXR, they went from 3,000 to 6,000, and at that time they went stereo.
Hi, everybody. This is Billy Dean, and you're listening to Hit Country right here on the Shark, 92.1 WJXR.
The Shark, 92.1 FM. Mr. Billy Dean, somewhere in my broken heart. 7 minutes after 5 o'clock at the Shark. And the sun is going away. Nighttime's setting in. Oh, well, I guess you can't have everything, but I sure do like it better when we're on daylight savings time. So I like the longer days. Makes driving home in rush hour a lot easier, too.
There's the broken down car in the right-hand lane of 95 southbound near McCoy's Creek, and that's causing traffic to slow all the way back to Church Street. Northbound traffic flowing down.
92.7 finds 3,000 watt WZAZ. Their tower is located in the county I'm in, St. John's County, and serves Jacksonville, St. Augustine, and Orange Park, another Jacksonville suburb. This station originally came on the air in the mid-70s as WKUE, as a disco station. And that call that seemed to be everywhere in the Jacksonville market, WPDQ, parked here for a while. And also WSVE moved here before locating to 1280 AM.
Американская фирма Transceptor Technology приступила к производству компьютеров персональный спутник.
Don't talk, just listen. First of all, I have to be honest with you, baby. I lied when I told you I never wanted to see you again.
92.7, the beat. Always a beat ahead. The new 92.7, the beat.
One, two, three, four, get it. My newest frequency to the Jacksonville lineup is found at 93.3 WAIA. That was a call that was in St. Augustine briefly on AM at 1170. In 1990, Marshall Rowland, who put the St. Augustine station on the air, also a Jacksonville station in the past, put this station on the air as a traditional country station. It's located just north of Jacksonville. It was actually at 93.5. It was a station serving South Georgia, and they dropped it to 93.3, went 50,000 watts. Stayed traditional country for about 3 months and then went to hard rock.
93A1A, where pure rock and roll means the best classic rock, the best new rock, and the least talk, the party pig.
.5 is one of those stations out of Orlando that has increased power and tower to height to serve this area, and originally served Daytona Beach in the mid-60s as WNDB and soft music, and then they went to WWLV about 12 years ago, and now they're Orlando's soft favorites.
Orlando's Love, 94.5, 6 minutes after 1 o'clock, and that young lady will start off the new year as this year's new pop artist of the year at this year's Billboard Magazine Awards. You may have enjoyed that earlier this evening. You enjoyed Kathy Dennis. Stay close. Amy Grant is still to come on Love 94.5, but right now, this is Larry Graham. It's called One in a Million You on Orlando's Love.
Thanks, Randy. I'll see you back here next month as we see if we can squeeze all of Jacksonville's FMs onto our tiny portion of this cassette. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I see that John Bowker has backed his motorhome to within about 10 feet of the audio service studios. And John is asleep in a large hammock between the two. It's about time to wake John for his historical moments in radio. So...
Historical Moments in Radio. Hello again, everyone. This is John Bowker, and this month we're on the road reading from a book called American Broadcasting, a source book on the history of radio and television, written by Lawrence Lichty and Malachi Topping, and published recently by Hastings House in New York City. And we're very appreciative that St. Petersburg Junior College made this book available to us for this program. Early in the book it reads, "The idea of distributing news and entertainment to a wide audience was introduced in Europe as early as 1880. The system, using wires in the same way that community antenna television would 70 years later, was known as the telephonic newspaper in Budapest and had attained a subscriber list of over 6,000 families by the year 1896. A few years later, Doc Herald's radio station in San Jose, California began broadcasting regularly. Efforts by researchers to clear up which station was on the air regularly the earliest have been clouded by faulty records. But everything that a station did in the infancy of broadcasting was an experiment. The idea of broadcasting, however, had caught on quickly, and by 1922 in the United States there were 570 licensed stations. By 1970, 141 of those were still on the air regularly, using the best frequencies and the highest powers available in the largest markets. KDKA and others began to increase their power as technological bugs were worked out of the transmitters. By 1925, most of the stations were broadcasting at 100 to 500 watts, but there were some big stations radiating nearly 1,500 watts, and one of them, WEAF in New York City, was booming out with 2,000 watts. Even then, stations had been experimenting with power up to 50,000 watts, and there was talk of superpower even above that. Equipment in this period was limited. Microphones were inverted megaphones, and the tubes were subject to breakdowns. Stations were heavily draped to deaden sound. There had been an idea originating with KDKA in East Pittsburgh. They had a temporary roof tent studio on the top of the Westinghouse building, and acoustically it was satisfactory. But most studios were usually draped and outfitted to look like a pretentious living room of the time. There was a description of a broadcasting station in 1922 as a long, narrow room. At one end of the typical broadcast station stands a beautiful piano of the reproducing variety with a long bench. The piano would be played not by a flesh-and-blood pianist, but in the form of a perforated paper roll. These were the earliest recordings in radio. Along each side of the studio room was a small table with a silk-shaded lamp to add a touch of home atmosphere and to reassure the performers, followed by an automatic organ, perhaps, several desks, plenty of chairs. It was just a plain room with very little embellishment. It was not uncommon to disguise the microphone in a birdcage or a lamp or even a wastebasket. Stations were using many techniques to gain status. WEAF had transported actors and singers to the studio in a rented Rolls-Royce. but many stations were not so extravagantly appointed. Here is a description from 1922 of the WDAP studio in the Wrigley Building in Chicago. A dear friend of ours was experimenting with the advertising business in the building, and we appropriated the front half of his offices. We moved in a piano and a few yards of drapery. We overcame the microphone problem by packing a four-button carbon microphone into a fiber wastebasket and hanging it on a pale blue parrot cage support. I shall never forget the general effect. On top of the piano sat a loudspeaker connected to a hand microphone in the operating room, and when the operator would announce the station and the next number, it would not be audible to those in the studio. He would then turn and yell, "Okay, start!" And the temperamental talent below would recover as rapidly as possible and do its best at the wastebasket. It was a great way to run a radio station. I wish we could return to it. It's a curious thing, says our author, that the process of natural decay which a station put up by inexperienced personnel always undergoes. It just gets worse. Despite your increasing knowledge and your violent efforts, nothing will save it. That was the story of WDAP in today's book. Well, here we go into the month of July. I see KBOA booming out with 10,000 watts at 8:30 on the dial from Kennett, Missouri, went on the air in July of 1947. And would you believe it, just 2 days later, in Hempstead, New York, WHLI came on 1100 with its 10,000 watts. Happy birthday to them and all the other July birthday stations. For Historical Moments in Radio, this is John Bowker.
Musings from members. The thoughts of the NRC members are not necessarily those of the editors, publishers, or the DX Audio Service.
Good morning, Fred. Paul Burkhardt of Watertown, Massachusetts. I'd like to find if it's possible to get in touch with Dale Park from Hawaii. I've always been interested in the radio reception from the Hawaiian Islands, and I'd like to know how to do that. If he wants to get a hold of me, I can be reached at 100 Warren Street, Apartment B401, Watertown, Mass. 02172.
Hi, Action Line people. This is Russell Fry in Indianapolis, Indiana. June the 2nd, on June 1st, Monday, 14:30, was simulcasting with their FM The Fox. They have changed their callers from WFXF AM to now WCKN. They are now a 24-hour country station, and it is total satellite-driven programming, and the format is called traditional country, and real country is what you would hear it is called, but that's what's happening here in Indianapolis, and that's on 14:30 on the dial beginning June 1st at midnight. Thank you.
Oh, this is Wayne Heinen from Aurora, Colorado. To the member who inquired on the June tape about the auroral conditions that Fred mentioned, good thing to check is 19 minutes after the hour and 19 minutes before the hour on WWV. Look for them to announce an A index above 35-45. That indicates aurora. To the member with the noise problem, if you'd like to drop me a tape of your noise, I'll try and diagnose what it is. My address is 4131 South Andes, A-N-D-E-S Way, Aurora, Colorado, 80013. I've had extreme problems with this before. Fred, you asked me about the CPC. We're alive. We're well. We hope to have tests in September. All contributions are welcome. Stamps and lists of target stations. Please send them to the address I gave earlier. Thank you very much. Keep up the good work, Fred. We'll talk to y'all later. Bye-bye.
Okay. My name is George Dominguez, and I am a member. Does anyone deal with TV DX at all, do you know? And if they do, I've got a problem here on Channel 2 in New York where I get all kinds of CB interference. What can we do? And also Channel 5. Thank you for calling. It's a good magazine, and thank you very much. Bye-bye.
This is Tom Likens reporting for the DX Audio Service from Louisa, Kentucky. And on Monday, May 25th, radio station WVKY, which was purchased, as Jerry Starr told you, on a previous AM switch column for $1, returned to the air. The radio station is a part of the East Kentucky Network, with the flagship station being WPKE in Pikeville at 1240. Also, WPRT in Prestonsburg at 960, owned by none other than radio entrepreneur Mr. Walter May. Very little, if any, local programming is originated from Louisa, although they have promised that there will be more to come. The audio feed from Pikeville is very lousy, to say the least. A lot of hiss and garbage in the audio feed. The station transmitter is throwing out spurs all over the AM band. So I'm sure hoping that something can happen. When you call up there on the telephone, the number that's listed, it's answered in Pikeville at WPKE. So it's call forwarded from there. So that station is on the air, unfortunately, just taking up space. Thank you, and have a good day.
This is Mark Marino, and I just wanted to say that I had, in my new apartment, I had had trouble with interference, and I was able to trace it to photoelectric cells that were put in lights. The light switches would be turned on, and in the evening, when it got dark enough, the photoelectric cells would kick on, and they would also kick up a lot of radio interference on AM. I was wondering if anybody in the audience knew of photoelectric cells that you could put in your lights on the outside that wouldn't generate AM interference. This is a new source of interference that I've discovered. Mostly I've discovered dimmer switches that interfere with AM. I would be interested in hearing of other various causes of AM interference that I may not know about, and possible solutions to the problem. This photoelectric cells was a totally new one to me. That's all for now.
Hello, fellow DXers and Fred. This is Victor Schmidt reporting. It's June 3rd. Two station format changes in the Baltimore-Washington area at 570 WTEM, formerly WGMS, is now Sports Radio. They started their format full-time on May 24th. And at 1360 in Baltimore, WEBB is now Jazz and Blues, and they brag that they no longer play rap, and they're proud of the fact that they don't. Two comments here. On the travelogue, John, when you recorded WCTN in Potomac Cabin, John, what you probably heard on the tape is splatter from WWRC. It's gotten a lot worse since you recorded it. I can no longer DX on either side of very strong stations. Ever since the AM stations have decided to increase the higher frequency output, it's next to impossible to listen to weaker stations near the stations because of this severe splatter. It's really terrible. I can't even listen to WWKB at night because of WTOP. And I can't listen to the Loop in Chicago because of WWRC. It's that bad. Also, I'm fighting radio interference. I've been calling the Potomac Power Company, and I've been leaving tapes of the interference on this gentleman's answering machine. I just did it a few minutes ago. I've been having a long series of talks with him over the last few months. He's suggesting that people may have these dimmer switches that could cause interference. Now, if you have the old-fashioned two-pole, that will cause interference. The three-pole will not. I heard this on the high-tech show last week. Also, people who have photocells that automatically turn on the outdoor lights, that will cause interference. I'm trying to find out now if these compact fluorescent lights that all the power companies are trying to push on everybody to save electricity, I wonder if that will also cause interference.
Hello, Fred. This is Rod Mogan back in Austin, Texas for a full summer of teaching summer school. I wanted to pass along a suggestion that I've been mulling over for the KB8BMQ repeater. Since most of us are out of range of 6 and 2 meters for most of the time, I wonder if you would consider putting a 10-meter remote base, 10-meter FM remote base on the repeater, using one of the less used simplex frequencies, something like maybe 29220, that's still legal. And that way, at least when 10 meters is open, some of us might have a chance to have a QSO with either you or other DX Audio Service members through the KB8BMQ system. Other than that, Fred, I must concur that the DX Audio Service certainly is a work of art. You obviously take great pleasure in it and obviously put a tremendous amount of work into refining it and honing it to the fine edge that it presents every month. Certainly a wonderful publication, and if we had to pay you for this, no organization would have money enough to compensate you for the kind of job you're doing. So keep it up, and we'll all keep listening out at our end. More later. W0NDS signing clear.
Hello, Fred. Hello, everybody on the action line in the DX audience. DX Audio Service, this is Dan Perrin calling from Mount Clemens, Michigan. Okay, we've had a few stations that have had anniversaries, birthdays, whatever. WJR, last month, on May 4th, had their 70th birthday. This would be good for, you know, the history of, you know, a radio thing, if they could get a hold of a WJR thing, or a WJR, you know, history or whatever. They started out in the Book Cadillac Hotel, and now they move. Then they moved to the Golden Towers of the Fisher Building. On June 2nd, CKLW had its 60th birthday. And on May 22nd, WDET had its 40th birthday. WFXF, the Fox 103.3 in Indianapolis, Indiana, and also on 1430 AM, is no longer the Fox. It's now WXCN, and it's gone back to its old country and western format. So we'll see what happens as far as developments on that.
Hi, Tim Stewart in the Tallahassee chapter of the Better Radio Bureau checking in. A couple things. We now have a Z-Rock station here in Tallahassee, Florida. It is WRZK. They came on the air at 106.1 on May the 11th. Also, I believe WUBE is now country simulcasting with their FM. The situation on our 730 frequency, they're testing, simulcasting with very low modulation and low power up in Thomasville, Georgia, WSNI, which is our oldies FM station here. And also, Fred, I'm getting some crosstalk on side two, kind of backwards crosstalk from side one. And I just wondered if you knew what the reason for that was on some of the DX audio cassettes. It's worse than others.
Hi, DXers. Mark Martin, Lansing, Michigan, once again. A little update on the Channel 53 situation. Their local sportscast in the middle of the Detroit news segment there has been dropped. It only lasted about a week or two, and so now they're carrying the full 90 minutes from 5 p.m. to 6:30 of Channel 7 Action News. Thanks a lot. 73s for now from KB8 FTR.
KB8 FTR, KB8 BMQ, signing it clear. Okay, let's get on with some other things. To those of you that called on the action line in regards to changing to NALS, you'll notice that the comments are not on the tape for several reasons. First of all, it would have taken up a lot more of the time here at the action line than we really needed. Also, it seems to be pretty well a dead issue. We're going to stay with our present format for two basic reasons. First of all, from the letters and cards and comments we have received, about 14 to 16% of the audio service members would have to drop out if we went to NLS because it would just cost some extra money to be able to get the players and equipment. And I don't think that is really fair to force people to buy new equipment just to be able to take our magazine. Secondly, I went out on a limb and bought a Marantz PDM-221 cassette deck for recording the masters in NLS, and then tried duplicating the cassettes. And I was not very successful in getting a clean audio bandwidth to produce a good quality cassette. For the voice, it was not bad. But then when we did music segments or the market scope or travel log, it just did not sound par. And we tried putting it through some processing equipment to clean up the audio, but it's just the way tape is recorded. You cannot pack a loud, clean signal on at that speed. So I don't think there's any need to be calling the action line anymore with comments concerning NLS slow or fast, because it's pretty well a dead issue. We'll try to figure out some way of maybe bringing in more tapes in the future or something. To those of you that had comments concerning the light sensors, let me just tell you something which I did here. When I built Great Northern Broadcast Company Studios, I had pretty much the same experiences in the past that all of you have had with noise on those sensors. I ran across something which seems to be very decent. It's manufactured by Hubble Company, and it's a model OS120. Now, this is not only a sensor which turns on at night, but it's also a motion sensing detector. In other words, it keeps the light off until it detects motion and turns it on. And I prefer that only because when some of the kids walk through our antenna field in the back, the light comes on and it actually scares them away because they think somebody turned the light on them. I have not noticed any large amount of noise from the device. It is also you can set it up for particular parameters as far as the time the light stays on or how sensitive you want it. I'm not endorsing this product at all, but I'm just telling you that I have had some moderate success with it, and we've got four sensors around the building here at the present time. To Rodney Moog, hello there down in Austin, Texas. 10-meter voice. Boy, I'd love to, except my class of license is not up to where I can use those privileges as of yet, and as a repeater owner, I cannot even put the equipment on there and operate it legally. But as soon as I upgrade, I will be very interested in putting on a 10-meter link on 29220, and I would just love to take do that sometime. Our Delphus, Ohio club might be putting on a 10-meter link, so maybe we can set something up there. And finally, on the audio crosstalk, I do know that sometimes we do experience that, and I'm not sure exactly if that is in the cassette loading or if that is in the duplication or what, but I have noticed it from time to time. It is also due to the fact that all the tapes that you folks get are processed audio-wise, so there is a very high, hot signal put on the cassette, and that does contribute to the crosstalk at times, though I know that if you play the tapes on a stereo machine and take left channel only, there's absolutely no crosstalk available. And that's about it for our Action Line. If you got some comments, something to say, something on your mind, give us a call on the Action Line, area code 419-224-3916, 24 hours a day. And please keep it brief so everyone has a chance to talk. And we'll catch you on next month's DX Audio Service. Hey, here's Ken right now with some sports information.
Hello again, everyone. Ken Anischuk here on the DX Audio Service with another sports update. And one of my favorite things I like to do at the local library is to read the For the Record column back inside the sports section of USA Today newspaper. I really like that because they put the odds and ends you don't normally sometimes see in your daily paper. And one thing I've noticed this year, instead of for the minor leagues, which they put in and I do follow, I thought perhaps a little bit of a change. I'd give you some minor league stuff that I've come across, considering the deadline for this issue and what's happened. The World Football League just finished up their schedule, and now we start up with a few other leagues here, sort of in between before the next month. So for this June issue, we have the Arena Football League, and from what I've been able to gather, we have the Cincinnati Rockers on 1360 WSAI. And perhaps next month they'll have more information on some of the other teams. The only other team I was able to find out, the Orlando Predators, are on 540 WGTO. That's a good-sized station for listening to their games. The other teams in the league, they're the Detroit Drive, the Cleveland Thunderbolts, the San Antonio Force, the Tampa Bay Storm, the Charlotte Rage, the New Orleans Knight, and the other teams, Dallas, Phoenix, and San Antonio and Sacramento. Some of these teams only get small coverage. Some of them get major, depending upon what's going on at the town at that time. So I should have more probably next month. The U.S. Basketball League has also started up. It's a minor league thing, but it's some summertime fun for the people out in those areas. And we have the teams. We have the New Jersey Jammers, the New Haven Skyhawks in Connecticut, the Philadelphia Spirit, the Long Island New York Surf, the Miami Tropics, the Palm Beach Stingrays, the Tampa Bay Sunblasters, and they have a team in Jacksonville. And the only team that has a radio station is the Atlanta Eagles on 1550 WYNX. Next we have the World Basketball League, and we have about 8 teams this time around. It's a small league, but they enjoy their basketball. I think they jacked up the height of their league. It used to be about 6'4", I think, and now it's up to about 6'7", if I'm not mistaken. USA Today usually puts an annual article in there about changes in the lineups and the rules, whatever franchises. I try to keep up with it a little bit. You have the Hamilton Skyhawks in suburban Toronto. Another team in Halifax, I think that's the Windjammers. The Calgary 88s, and they used to be on 77 CHQR, and I wouldn't doubt that they're on there now, too. The Saskatchewan Storm. There's also the Winnipeg Thunder, and the Free Press says they're on 680 CJOB. Fine to me, if only they can get down through WMAQ Splash over here. I've heard the Dayton team, by the way, on 980 WONE. One night I did hear them. There's also teams in Jerry Starr's Youngstown, Ohio. Maybe Jerry can put in a quick tip on what station does air games, even if they're broadcast. There's also no team in Erie. I've also learned of the Florida Jades in Miami on 740 WSBR. There's also the Jacksonville Stingrays on 930 WNZS. And we did have a Jacksonville band scan. I don't know if that Mercer mentioned about the Stingrays being on there, even though it's a minor league team. But what else is going on in Jacksonville besides the AA baseball team in the Southern League? Well, there should be some good sports entertainment out there regardless. And there's also the Internationals, a variety of teams. And finally, we have the start of the American Pro Soccer League, which is just 5 franchises. The Colorado Foxes are based in Denver. There's also the San Francisco Blackhawks. There's also a team in Fort Lauderdale, suburban Miami. Team in Tampa and Miami.
And I'd appreciate any calls for update information. My new number just changed. 1-708-841-6381. Appreciate the calls. And one final note to mention here on John Buffer's travelogue for 950. WJPC AM is licensed to Chicago, while the FM 106.3 is licensed to Lansing, Illinois, in southeast Cook County, not Lansing, Michigan. But still enjoyable on the travelogue, and we know John does a great job with that, and wish him the best of luck. And thanks for listening on this edition. I'll see you next month with more sports on the DX Audio Service. And let's now play ball, or basketball, or football. Enjoy it all.
Okay, Ken, I'm sure we're going to enjoy it. And if you have any knowledge of stations in your area that are carrying certain teams, be sure to drop that information on a card or a letter, or give Ken a call and let him know about that. That information is very vital to a lot of DXers. And a lot of people I know don't understand that concept, but it's basically very simple. If you're on a certain frequency, the chances of two stations having the same ball game on that frequency are very slim, so you can usually narrow your DX odds, so to speak. I mean, for example, if you're on the West Coast on 760 and hear the Detroit Tigers, chances are that's going to be WJR Detroit. I don't know of any other 760 that does the Tigers. So send that information to Ken as soon as possible so he can include it in the sports networks list. The other Ken, the crazy one, up in Mansfield, New York, wanted me to remind you that he's just got a couple boxes left of the cassettes, the blank cassettes. So if you need some blank cassettes, he's got 25 C90 cassettes for $22, 10 C90 cassettes for $9, 25 10-minute cassettes, C10 cassettes, for $18, and 10 C10 cassettes for $7. And those are available from the Publication Center. And, of course, all profits go to help defray costs of the DX Audio Service, so it's very important. Shuffling through my paperwork, I find that we also have the convention here to talk about. Don't forget the National Radio Club Convention, which is coming up in Omaha, Nebraska. Be sure to get your information in and book your room. Hopefully, God willing, and the creek don't rise and all that stuff. or in my case, if lightning doesn't hit the TV station again like it did several years back, I will be at the 1992 National Radio Club Convention in Omaha, and hopefully I'll be dragging along that tall, goofy-looking guy with the sandy-colored hair. Oh, you figured it out. It's Phil Wayne. Yeah, you're right. And if we get out there, we're going to have KNRC AM 64, FM 99.3 on the air. And tune into those frequencies as you drive in. You might be able to hear us. Volbe and Wayne in the morning. Boy, what a dastardly conversation piece that's going to be. And it's really going to be a nice convention, I think. So be sure to get your information in to Ernie as soon as possible. Well, the sparrows are chirping in the background because I got the window open here to cut down on the air conditioning, so I better get out of here. That wraps up the July edition of the DX Audio Service 492. We'll see you in 30 days with more DX stuff. 73, everyone.